everyone. I'm Angela Stevens, and I am the podcast host to Refocus with Angela. And I am so excited to introduce you to our guest today because he is so interesting. He's got so much to share. You're going to find out about Todd Palmer. He is a CEO. He's a coach. He's an author. He's a father. And he's got so much advice that I can't wait to dive into this interview. So first of all, Todd, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, Angela, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So first of all, you know, there's a ton of coaches, right? It's a very saturated field. A lot of people do that. I want to find out, first of all, what makes you a better coach than any other coach out there?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think it's a unique environment. I think things that make me different, I think I'm an outlier as a coach, first of all. Most coaches I know teach you a process. There's EOS, there's scaling up, there's strategic coach. Those are all great processes. And that coaches you on how to do things. The way I've been coached, and I've had a coach in my life since 2006, so it's been a while, is I coach the person. So how I coach the person is I focus on awareness-based coaching, not necessarily solutions-based coaching. So it is under the premise and the belief system that we are the cause of and the solution to all of our problems. So that both puts us in the blessed position of having all the power and the cursed position of having all the responsibility. So if we're not happy with something, how do we approach that? And I learned all this because I studied under a neuroscientist for 10 years. So I really look at how our brain works. How do we avoid being fight or flight? How do we go to the highest functioning part of our brains and the prefrontal cortex? And what is the elevator ride we need to take from fight or flight to the highest operating part of our lives? And, you know, a lot of people, when they vet me, they'll say, well, why should I hire you? I said, well, I've been there, done that, survived it. I continue to still drink the Kool-Aid. I still get coached. I was a CEO for 24 years, so I can talk to you about your business. I was a single parent since my son's age of 2. He's now 32, so I've been a parent for 30 plus years. I've been married and divorced, so I can talk about relationships. And where I come from, where it's just different, you know, and my tagline, it says I'm a business therapist, so to speak. The difference between a therapist and a coach is a therapist is going to talk to you from an academic perspective, prescribe drugs potentially, things like that. I speak to you from an experience perspective of things I've done, things my clients have done, and I'm blessed to be as busy as I am with all the opportunities that I've had because I'm three things. I'm authentic, I'm transparent, and I'm vulnerable. I've got one client who calls me Todd Lasso because I'm a combination in her mind of Brene Brown and Ted Lasso. So it's a very different experience. So I would never say I'm better than any other coach. I say I'm a different coach. And to hire a coach is such an enormous trust move to get an ROI. And the client, it's their journey. It's their hero's journey. My job is to sit above that journey so they get the results that they want.
I love that. And before the show, we were talking and you and I have a similar background. We were both recruiters in working with C-suite executives. One of the things about being in the search industry is it can be grueling and you can get burnout. And so one thing is, you know, I don't know if you worked from home or from an office, but I want to know two things. First of all, how did you focus then? And then how do you focus today? Because it's similar businesses, but different. And in the morning, you know, we all have to get up and get going. So what is it that makes you go? Because believe me, if you have ever been a recruiter for a long term, you've got to have that inner drive and you've got to be your own boss to get going where you want to be.
So great question. So I'll give you two different answers. One, I really struggled with focus when I had my recruiting company. At one point, I called it anything for a buck staffing. I want to be all things to all people all the time, which triggers my imposter syndrome, which makes me in my mind, a complete failure because there's no way I can ever be all things to all people all the time on all topics. It wasn't sustainable. Working with my first coach, we figured out around focus is what can we do better than anyone else in the world? And that was a mantra we came and we did generalized staffing in Detroit, Michigan for manufacturing and construction, et cetera. What we eventually pivoted into is we wanted to be the world's leading provider of skilled trades labor for CNC machinists, welders, certain categories. We had Detroit, Chicago, Houston were our three hubs. And each of those hubs, we found that one area we wanted to own. So the focus for the organization, for me as the CEO, became very clear. Here's our target area. Here's our market. And how do we control not the clients, but how do we control the candidates? I want to control the inventory, not the marketplace. So if I control the inventory of a category where the age is continuing to rise, I mean, when I sold out 6 years ago, average American welder was 56. So if I've got a 45-year-old welder and you need a welder and he's got 25 years of experience, he started right out of high school, he's all of a sudden my rock star. I can charge more for them. I can reverse engineer that back to marketplace and pitch the candidate versus take the job order. Became very clear what we were focused on. What was missing in that focus, though, was the why. That's the how, but the why was missing. So I worked with a guy named Simon Sinek for 2 years before I put his big book out there, before his TED Talk ever popped, and he helped me figure out my why. My why is improve lives. We then put that why on top of the business. That worked out really well. So when we had to make a decision, we could tie it to our core values against our objective to being the number one provider of skilled labor. So that made the company's focus very clear. What I've done now and pivoting from there is my why as a human being is still improving lives. What I was missing is my personal definition of success. Success is doing what I want, where I want, with whom I want, as often as I want, for fee or for free. So being with you today is my choice. I want to be with you on your show. I get the opportunity. So it's happening for me and not to me. And so as I've grown my coaching practice, it's really been a kind of a combination of my improved lives, my why, and then also remembering what am I willing to sacrifice. If I want my bucket to be filled, I have to get on an airplane sometimes, which forces me to not be at home with people I love. I have to understand and recognize that sacrifice and then communicate that back to my family, because if the travel becomes too much, they're feeling a space of distance and disconnection. I have to own that and work on that. So for me, it's focusing on what is the purpose of my life now, improving lives, and how do I do that? What does success look like? What am I willing to sacrifice for that? And it's been by far the most rewarding work I've ever done. And it's really, when you get that light bulb moment, I'm sure you've seen that. When you get that light bulb moment from somebody, it's the biggest spike of dopamine. It's the biggest rush when they have their breakthrough. So really, the work is about others, not about self. For me,
it is the best. I'm working with several within career coaching, and it's a light bulb, and it's really exciting to see that person, you know, figure it out on their own. Really, I love that. So that was okay. So that was you know, recruiting, focusing today. So, but give us an example if you can. Take any CEO or C-suite person that you might think of, and let's say that they feel like they're stuck and in a rut. Can you give our listeners a little brief example of, first of all, advice, and then also just an example of how you coach others? I think they would really enjoy hearing that.
Great. So how I coach others tied to the advice. So how I coach others is I coach all my 22 clients exactly the same, 22 different ways. So how do I do that? I for me to focus, I need to know who you are. So if I'm coaching Angela, I would give you a product called colorcode.com. And it's one thing I love about it is it's free. So you take colorcode.com, you send me your results, and it puts you in one of four colors. You're a red, a blue, a white, or a yellow. A lot of people that in my experience who have ADHD or ADD or struggle with focus end up usually as a yellow or a white. With that product comes the tools on how to improve your performance as you are. Not that you're broken, not that you're wrong, not that you need something else. So when I find out what my clients are, then I coach them to how they see the world. And it's how they see the world from what their core motive. Like I've got a call this afternoon with one of my clients. He's a white. Whites are motivated by peace, both internal peace and external peace. So they struggle with crucial conversations. My reds are very much about power, not power to overlord over someone, but power around the simplest solution is from point A to point B. The shortest distance is the most effective way to do it. Engineers, accountants typically are your reds, just kind of for the context of the audience. I will coach my red differently than I'll coach my white because they want the same results. Reds are very good at crucial conversations. Unfortunately, sometimes what they do is they make it confronting conversations, which erodes psychological safety in the dynamic of the relationship. So I figure out who they are and I work with them. What I found, like for example, if you've got high ADHD and you've got struggles around that, if you're yellow, some of the greatest things you can do is make lists. Anything you're probably thinking, because I know some of your products that you offer in your store.
We have an amazing to-do list legal pad. And if you haven't tried it, you'll love it.
Right. So for those folks, writing it down. But when they get distracted. So when they write it down, they have to remember to then go out and do what they've written down. So what do we do for them? On our phone, we put a reminder. that at 10 o'clock, my reminder is to be on the podcast with Angela. Better be there. Don't want to show up. Don't want to be late. Don't want to be disrespectful. But I need that alarm to go off so I can show up at 10 o'clock because on my to-do list is to be on the podcast with Angela. So for me, it's very much an ecosystem of how you show up. I'm a blue. I write everything down. It goes on my calendar. I don't miss appointments. What I struggle with as a blue is I struggle hardcore to be spontaneous. I don't go with the flow well. But I want to remember that I actually get joy when I do go with the flow. So I have to remind myself that it's even though it's against my tide to enjoy that moment and experience with my family, for example. And
it's just getting there. Yourself.
I got to show up and be of the mindset of being spontaneous versus being rigid.
Right. Exactly. I love that. So you mentioned your family. So you've been a father, and tell us a little bit about life in your world on a personal basis. I love that question when we ask people that because we get to see an inner picture of your life on a daily basis.
So yeah, I'm blessed. I have a 32-year-old son. He's a CPA. And I have a 13-year-old stepdaughter who is amazing. She's going to be 14, oh my gosh, in like 15 days. And she's a yellow. My son is a red. So
I was going to ask you if you had given
I work with him differently.
The family all the color questions. Okay. If you're going to date me, you've got to take this questionnaire.
So to the 13-year-old's mother, second date, she's asking me all these questions about what I do for a living. And she goes, can I take the test? I'm like, sure, because she's a yellow. And yellows, their core motive is fun. She's like, this test is going to be super fun. And so I immediately get to pull back the curtain and see how she operates, which is a blessing because being in the yellowness of her joy, she's like the sun. I get the best tan in her energy until I do something because I am the cause of and the solution to all of my problems. And I shift the sun and it becomes the coldest shadow in the world. So all of a sudden I went from Tahiti to Siberia because of something I did. How do I work with that? And recognize that between two parties is a space called otherness. And the space of otherness requires acceptance of self and others to show up as our most authentic selves, warts and all. So as I'm coaching people, as I'm coaching my leaders to work with their teams, we have to honor that otherness as well. In order to do that, I have to measure that in my family because my son is very different than my daughter. They're both very different than my soon-to-be wife. And none of them are wrong. Nobody's ever right or wrong. They can say, oh, you're the CEO. You're the, made the Inc. list six times. My son wants to start his own business. He could be intimidated to come and talk to me. I have to create that safe space so that he feels he can come to his father, who also happens to have 30 years of business experience, to best serve him. But he comes in with his itty bitty shitty committee. My dad knows more than I do. I'm in a less than position. My job as the leader of that relationship is to even that playing field by being massively curious about what matters most to him. So I, as a coach, have to practice what I preach in my household.
Exactly. I love that. So first of all, I could talk to you all day. I've got so many questions, but I want to ask you, I've got something really interesting that I've seen myself. So I would love to hear your answer on this. So, it's hard for CEOs to get away, right? It's hard for many, not all, but many to take the time off to be with their family. But I see this all the time. And I think it's because I've been a recruiter my whole life, but I see people literally at resorts and yeah. I will literally find this executive hiding in the business office, trying to take a phone call so that his wife doesn't know that he's in there. So first of all, when you are so needed in your company and you might be very hands-on with your staff, what advice do you give to those leaders that should take time off, but really separate work from vacation? I think we've never asked that question on here. And you mentioned something about vacation and I thought, that is something I've seen. And I found it so odd. And by the way, the executive got caught because the wife came in and busted him. And I witnessed the whole thing. So yeah. So what's your thoughts on that?
So I think three things come up for me. One, what are my boundaries? What are my boundaries with others, staff, family, self? So there's three people we have to have boundaries with, right? What are my boundaries around what matters most to me? And what often, and I suffered from this a lot, I didn't realize, I would tell myself the lie that I'm working hard for my family. My experience, and someone may challenge me back on, is that I'm working hard for me. I got pride, I got ego, I got other things driving my bus. So my boundaries are flexible on basically what rewards me. If you take a look at the behavior of an entrepreneur, and you look at the behavior of an addict, you look at the behavior of an executive, we're all addicted to something. And we're often addicted to work. And we're addicted to the yes of a sale, or to the, look at how smart I am, I solved the problem. And so I need it. What we don't recognize is where we're needed in our business, we are also needed in our families. And so what are our boundaries? What are our rules of engagement with our staff when we're on vacation? Did we set up upfront contracts to say, hey, listen, I will be available Tuesday and Thursday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. Because I know in my household, everybody sleeps till 10. So I can go out and be fully present for my work or for my coaching clients now, but it was for my staff at one point. And then after 10, I'm not going to be there. Also, what are my rules of engagement with my family? What can they expect from me? Hey, I want to be fully present for you. I have three big issues coming up this week. I've got them on my calendar. Here's when they're going to be. How does this look against our schedule? Because my family is not terribly schedule driven. It's not such a big issue. What I found with staff, with employees, even with coaching clients, the one thing they don't like, and especially family, surprises. You said you'd be present with me, Dad, and now you're on your phone. You said you'd be present with me, Mom, and you're in the business office. That doesn't work well. So what are our boundaries? What are our rules of engagement? And recognizing what are we getting from being so accessible? And there are times when that serves us well, but also recognizing there are times and there are relationships where that doesn't serve us well.
Right. Absolutely. So talk to us about your book. So you wrote a book. Is it out? I mean, can we get it now, or how can people find out about that? Tell us a little bit about that and also why you wanted to do it.
Yep. So my book is called From Suck to Success. It's been out for about a year and a half, 2 years now. So if anybody goes to fromsucktosuccess.com, they can get a free chapter on me as my thank you for being on your show. And why did I write the book? It's really interesting. It took me 5 years and 8 revisions to write the book. So I have a bit of a perfectionistic streak. And I wrote the book because rarely do we talk about how hard it is to be an entrepreneur. Like we can read something like the Rockefeller Habits and see all the great things Rockefeller did through Werner Harnisch's lens of success. Love the book. Good to Great. Jim Collins, a huge fan. Love his stuff. But then I read some of the work by Mark Manson, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Blank. And I'm like, that really resonated with me. Why don't we have a book that talks about how hard it is to be an entrepreneur? What are the struggles we have? How we are the cause of and the solution to our problems? How do we deal with imposter syndrome? And it really dawned on me that everything I wanted in a book, I've lived. Why don't I write that book? Secondarily, as I mentioned, I have a 32-year-old son. I thought, you know, he has a revised history of what it was like to be my child, going through the tough times. I mean, the book starts off with me sitting behind my recruiting office after I fired my entire company and I decided to start over after the bank threatened to take my house. So what was his remembrance of that? He has a documentation of it. And I found that the thing that made it an Amazon bestseller was that I was just really raw about it. And it wasn't like I had a lot of pretenses, but I also, at the end of every chapter, talked about how I solved the problem. And here are tools and techniques how you can solve the problem if you can't afford a coach or you don't trust a coach or what have you. And I just, for me, it was really important to get the story out there because warts and all, because most people only, you know, we have a TikTok, Instagram, Facebook world of positive, positive, positive. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And sometimes I will fall into that category of, hey, I just did this cool thing.
Right.
But I'll also post like, hey, here's something that people are suffering with. Here's something I'm going through. How do we, you know, I just wrote a new article that just came out and I called it The Traumapreneur. How does trauma show up in our businesses? How does trauma show up in the way we lead others? How does trauma show up in the way we create our businesses? And even looking at the amazing work you've done with Refocus, you had a child who was struggling. You created tools to assist him. Some could argue that's a traumatic experience. But it's like, I'm going to guess you didn't come out like, I see a huge business opportunity. Like, no, I'm a caring, loving mother. My child is suffering. I don't want him to suffer anymore. How can I support and help him? Wow, other people are suffering too. Great, here's a business. It's in those stories of those things that I think matter. And that's one of the main drivers of why I wrote the book, to share those stories with others, but also to have a living document. So my family one day can look like, wow, he was half crazy. He tried really hard. I've reframed these narratives and that You know what?
I'm laughing because it sounds so familiar. It does. I love that. And you know, you're exactly spot on when you said that about me, because I thought I would be selling password books and calendars and things like that, organization. And we do, but everyone loves the story. And I never, ever, ever thought the journey of my son and I would lead to something to help others. Never in my world. And what a blessing.
Oh, you know, totally.
What a blessing in the journey of that. And so you were spot on with that. It was kind of shocking to hear that back, because again, I still have to remind myself, wait a minute, it was just life. I was living, yeah. I was living life.
And I put in the book, you know, I was wrapped in shame and guilt. I didn't tell my story for years. People didn't hear my story. We're only as ugly as our ugliest secrets. And so it dawned on me, if I really want to live up to my core value of improving lives, what I need to do is I need to tell people, you know, because once the business hockey sticked and we made the Inc. 5000 six times in 7 years, I got a lot of opportunity to go tell my story of success. And I remember this university wanted to hire me. And they said, why don't you come and tell the kids the story of your success? And I said, I don't want to do that. Yeah, but we'll pay you. I appreciate that. Here's what I will do. I will tell them the story of my struggle, and I'll do it for free. But I don't want any input from the university. I want to tell this journey of slogging through all that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like it when I was at university, or when I'm at an entrepreneurs organization speaker event or a YPO speaker event, and someone comes in and like, look at how smart I am. Like, no, I want the Rocky story about it. I struggled and I went through it and it came out on the other side, and you can too. I want to be inspirational, not motivational. And I remember the dean said, he's like, wait a minute. So you're coming to talk for free and you're going to tell the kids the ugly side of things? Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, you're here. But from there, because the story ultimately I told myself was, no one's going to shame or judge me worse than I did.
Yeah.
So anybody in the audience can think, what an idiot, what a moron, how he screwed that up. He alienated his kid. He screwed up his business. He came out on the other side. Both categories came, put it back together. But you'll never judge me more than I judge myself. So my risk of all things actually decreased once I realized no one could judge me more than I judge myself.
I love that. That's amazing. Really. Well, like, you know, you are inspiring. You really, you have a lot to share. And so if you haven't gotten this book, you should definitely check it out. The guest name is Todd Palmer, P-A-L-M-E-R. And he's a great person and a great coach. So definitely recommend it. I have one last question that I ask everyone on this show, and I've only had to be the same twice, but I want to ask you personally, Todd, that on those days when you're just not yourself, and we're all mm-hmm. human, so we've got them, right? But let's say you have one of those days and you're going to speak, and it's one of those days you've really got to be game on, but you're not there. Yeah. What is the music or the artist or the genre that you, or the song that you listen to that gives you game on?
The artist I listen to are the Foo Fighters. Mm. And I listen to one or two different songs depending upon my headspace and depending upon the audience I have to go serve. So I was blessed. I worked with my coach, Dr. Daniel Friedland, for 10 years. Before that, I worked with Greg Palmer, my brother, for 7 years on the business stuff. But Dr. Danny truly changed my life, and he passed away 2 years ago. Hmm. And as he was passing away, the biggest gift he gave me is everything in life happens for you, not to you. And this is really hard to accept when you've been diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer and you're a neuroscientist. It's not like you and I getting the diagnosis and we're going to go negotiate with the doctor. What am I? He's like, I knew what I had. And he goes, the rest of my life will be the best of my life. And he goes, one of the things I want to do for you, Todd, is I'd like to write the foreword to your book and tell your story through my lens of how you've transformed. I'm in tears by that point, you know, what a generous offer. If I have to go talk and I want to share the Danny story, I'll listen to My Hero by the Foo Fighters, because he was my hero. And the man changed my life. I wrote my epilogue in my book, and I sent it to him before he passed away, just so he knew that not only did I was inspired by him, but there was genuine love between us. 10 years is a long time to work with somebody.
Yeah.
And he just truly changed my life. Now, if I've got to go, like I just had to go do a speech in Minneapolis, and I was the opening keynote for Alex Rodriguez, Major League Baseball retired player. And, you know, he's the big celebrity. I'm the opening band for the Foo Fighters. So that time I wanted to get pumped up because I was feeling low energy because I'd been in 3 different cities in 24 hours. So then they have a song called Walk, and it's about, there's a line there. I'm never going to die. It's like, I want to, every time I talk, my goal, like being on your show today, is I just want to impact one person. And if I just impact one person, then I tell myself the story that my legacy potentially can move on. Someone reads my book, they send me a great review. The story I tell myself is it mattered. I put the book into audio form so I could be immortal for my family to listen to it somewhere in generations to come. Yeah, I find Dave Grohl's work to be inspiring. I find his messaging to be something that I can get behind. And yeah, so that's who I listen to.
I love that. That's great. Well, first of all, Todd, thank you so much for being on our show today. You're amazing. You're inspiring. And I love your background. And I know you're definitely going to inspire more than one person today. So
thank you so much
for being on my show. I graciously appreciate it.
And I'm thankful for the opportunity. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus Careers. If you are not sure what you want to do in life, or maybe you're not happy in your job, check us out at refocuscareers.com. You can get career coaching there, but also check us out at our podcast, which is refocuscareers.com/podcast. And what you're going to find is you're going to find different interviews with executives from all different types of careers. And it may just give you a new idea, a new start, and a new career in your new life.